it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. A few minutes past 2 p.m. So we've had Grunt Style on Veterans Group several times, and they have an event coming up over this weekend, and they have practitioners and experts that are going to be there, and they brought one of them in today who happens to be a very old friend of mine. John Lanius goes back 25 years, Kev. So wow. I was the first live talent on 97.1 FM Talk, and John was the second.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave. So great to see you.
So we go way back. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
How you been?
Man, I've been great. It's, you know, it's really great to be partnered with the Grunt Style Foundation for this upcoming weekend where we're serving active military veterans and first responders. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get a little bit into how we met through Shadow Worlds and maybe things like that. But it relates in that Will Wisner has done a fantastic job with this weekend coming up where we've brought in all of these unique and interesting practitioners to teach people how to heal. And when you say alternative healing, in many ways, it's original healing,
that's
isn't
right.
it, Will?
That's right, man.
So it's going to be a great weekend, and it's still open, right, for people
it
to
is
register,
still open,
right?
Yeah, people can go to GruntStyleFoundation.org and register for tickets. We just dropped the class registration links last night through, there's a Facebook group where kind of the followers of the event receive information. You can get the link through there. If you register for tickets, we'll send you the link. You can select whatever class you like. There are two separate classes available on Friday afternoon, followed by two ceremonies in the evening. They'll be led by an Ayahuascaro from Columbia, as well as our friends the Lakota, Jalen Garnett and his family out from Pine Ridge, South Dakota. So that's going on Friday night. Saturday, you can participate in four separate classes and two ceremonies Saturday night, and then we'll have two more classes for you on Sunday morning. And John is one of our big headliners there, quite possibly the most interesting man in the world, as I'm sure you know.
Oh, you're very nice. Well, you know, Dave, you're asking how I've been. Well, currently I am the director of strategic operations at Lifetime Media. I'm the founder of Sheehan Wellness, and I'm also the director of community outreach for the Special Operations Charity Network. And so if we go back 25 years ago, when we talk about the fact that I was hosting Shadow Worlds on 97.1 and we had a chance to interact, I mean, by the way, what you do every year on Halloween is pretty amazing. And so what I did today was I brought in a couple of things that I'd like to show you. And you may remember these from years ago. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I'm holding in my hand, describe it, Dave. What do you think this looks like for folks?
It looks like a tiny pocket watch made of rocker clay.
There you go. It's made of wood. So for 800 years, the samurai would carry this on their obi, on their belt. And what this is called zuko. And zuko, ko meaning incense, zu meaning hand or body, is that you tap this right into your hand like that, and then you'll rub your hands together. And what will happen automatically is that it will kill 99.9% of bacteria on contact. And so during the pandemic, when everybody else's hands were cracking with Purell, I would rub this on. And first of all, when you smell it, right, when you listen to it, this is how we describe it in the incense tradition, you'll notice that within about 15 to 20 seconds, your sinuses begin to open. Right? We're living in a world now that is very synthetic. If you look at the quality of our food, if you look at the quality of our water, if you look at the quality of a lot of different things, this weekend, the integration weekend, this is the second year, it's an opportunity for people to really tap into different modalities that allow them to recenter and to refocus. The other thing I brought today, Dave, is I brought a battery-operated monkoro. Now, what does that mean and what language is John speaking? I'm speaking Japanese, and monkoro means incense listening vessel. So what you want to do is just take a moment and put this just below your nose, and you'll notice Now, you're getting a wonderful fragrance of sandalwood. You've heard of sandalwood, but that is real sandalwood. Mm. It's also called Old Mountain sandalwood. That means that it's at least 150 years old before it is harvested. That's some of the most expensive sandalwood in the world. But what it does is that it recenters the mind. It recenters the body. It is antibacterial, antimicrobial, and it allows yourself to begin to heal the things you need to heal.
Why do you think, this is the $64,000 question, but why do you think that we chose chemicals and man-made things over the traditional things? Was it just money?
Yeah, it was money. Yeah. So this happened about 100 years ago when medicines and a lot of different things moved toward the oil industry. Right. A lot of the things in our world, you know, come from the oil industry, including our medicines. Well, we are not of the oil industry, you know. I mean, if you bury us for long enough, we kind of go back to that. But the point is that if you, again, go back before 120 years ago, we got all of our nutrients from our water, from our food, from our herbs, and from our mushrooms. And you're beginning to see a movement back toward the fun mushrooms and the non-fun mushrooms. I'm not alluding at anything, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But the point is that by using different types of herbs, foods, waters, and healing mushrooms, you're able to regulate your body. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but our world is pretty chaotic and pretty stressful. So the more that we can, bring ourselves back to center. I'm also a hypnotherapist, and so I work with executives, and I work with veterans, and I work with a lot of different people in taking their minds and recentering them. Because the deeper the relaxation, the deeper the healing. And in this country, we don't honor relaxation. It's actually considered kind of a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, are you grinding? Are you hitting it out? Well, that's balanced to both of those. So just to put one more point on it, is that when you look at the samurai culture, the samurai for 800 years were the elite warriors of Japan. And so they learned to balance themselves, not only in how they warred, but also how they relaxed and recentered with things like tea ceremony, flower arranging, incense ceremony, kodo, which I'll be showing at Integration all weekend long. And so this is something that I've studied since I was 9 years old. And then when I was 13, I took official instruction under a Japanese qualified master of incense.
Why? How did that happen?
Why did this happen?
I mean, like, everyone else was playing Little League. Like, what?
Yeah, no, I get it. So here's the thing. So my brother, who's a wonderful human being, is a person with a disability. And now in my 50s, I am his guardian. But when I was 9 years old, the bullies in the neighborhood wanted to beat my brother up because he looked and sounded and was different. Well, I would go to protect him and I would end up getting the same treatment. Right. So my mother, in her great wisdom, said, we're going to send you to martial arts class, which all that did was get me beat up even more. But it kind of worked out because in the years to come, I would meet pretty famous martial artists and I would train with them for long periods of time. But Mr. Black, who was my first martial arts teacher, was burning now what I call bad incense. It's just not pure, but it was my entree in. And so, because my mother was a hippie and my dad was U.S. Air Force, is that if you spend any amount of time with me, I'm the perfect amalgamation between the two of them.
Yeah, you really are.
And so from the ages of 9 to 13, I studied on my own. My mother gave me a book on world religions. And then at 13, I would meet a Japanese qualified master of incense who had studied with the Hatta family. The Hatta family is the oldest incense family in Japan. And then I would start to learn a tradition that goes back 1,500 years. But in its codified form is only about 500 years old, Dave. So not that long. And so I spent 10 years learning this. And now what I get to do is travel all around the world and teach people what true and real incense is. I mean, you'll notice it's a very pleasing fragrance in here, but there's no smoke, right?
Right.
And so in many ways, we call it the original aromatherapy. One more story about that is that I was giving a talk in Vegas last year, and this woman came up to me. She said, you're the incense man, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. And she said, well, I know what you do. I'm not coming to your class. And I said, okay, well, great, great to meet you. And I said, why is that? She's like, well, I use essential oils. And I said, okay, is that the only thing that you use? And she said, yes. And I said, you and I don't do the same thing. She said, what do you mean? And I said, well, let's take something from music and radio. We have an MP3 file and we have a WAV file. An MP3 file was invented in the early 90s to be able to send music over the internet easily. A WAV file is a full file. So what I do is I bring the full file of fragrance, so you get all of the benefits of the terpenes and the chemicals and everything else associated with that. In addition, everything I do is completely natural, nothing synthetic, so that all of the systems in your body, your endocrine system, all of them, we can name them all, but all these systems working in unison allow you to return back to the mind and body that you want versus what you were thrown into and reactionary about.
How, for the people out there listening, whether they are a veteran who suffers from PTSD or they're just a civilian who suffers from anxiety and they're intrigued by this, mm-hmm. what's their first step?
So here's what I would say. First of all, they should go to the integration weekend,
yeah,
right,
absolutely.
So how can people find out about it right now?
They can find out about it by going to gruntstylefoundation.org. You'll see right there on the main landing page a call to action with an RSVP. Just click that button. That'll take you over to the event registration page. You can download a catalog. You can go through our entire list of 24 top-notch, top-shelf instructors of the caliber, similar to John, maybe not all as quite as Ike's. He's a pretty special guy, but they're pretty remarkable people in their own right with their own disciplines, and they can register right then and there.
And then I would say after that is that what's great about this weekend is that you get to connect with instructors that have been doing this for, in many cases, their entire life, like me. And then there are other instructors that are just rock stars at learning what they're doing. And there's been so much development in the past few years around the importance of really finding your center. And that's nothing woo-woo. You know, for 30 years when I speak, I've always said that I balance or I move people from the woo-woo to the wow-wow. Because when people say, oh, you're into woo-woo stuff, that's a veiled insult, basically saying, oh, this doesn't relate to me. But when something that is kind of esoteric and out there suddenly becomes something integrated, then you go, wow, that was amazing. So this whole weekend is about moving from the woo-woo to the wow-wow. And then I would also say people should visit my website, which is shihan-wellness.com, shihan-wellness.com, shihanwellness.com, because on there, you've got a continuing conversation of what you're going to get at integration.
Absolutely, man. And we have so many different modalities. It's really about the closest thing you can come to go into a real world Hogwarts is what is possible. I mean, it is literally every modality you can think of under the sun. Again, what we talked about last time we were here, these aren't alternative modalities. These are the original modalities.
Exactly.
This is how mankind is wired. And mm-hmm. we are trying to present as many ways possible to climb the mountain and reject the status quo of psychotropic medications, SSRIs, antidepressants, and benzodiazepines.
If you guys want to learn more about it, we have the link up on Facebook. We have the link up on the stream. It's gruntstylefoundation.org/events. John, one more time, the website for you?
Shihan-wellness.com.
Okay, let's have you back on often. This is great. Great to see you, my friend.
Thank you, too.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A simple round of conversation became a shameful equation. I flipped to station to station.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX 221. Happy Tuesday to you. We have Ricky Horton coming up in the next segment. Dave Murray will join us as he always does at 3:30. We have a think tank today with Recorder of Deeds Michael Butler and the head of elections in St. Charles County, Kurt Barr. Pretty good show.
I'm excited.
Let's do DJ's happy hour since we sort of got sidelined by all the fun with Trish and corn dogs.
Okay, I've got a topic here.
Okay.
So we talk about the Las Vegas sphere quite a bit on the DGS. Many of us are very interested in
the sphere. I dream of going
to
a good show there.
It looks very fun, but there was a man who had a terrible experience at the sphere He's claiming he had basically a medical emergency. It happened without warning. There were zero signs leading up to it. He was fine 1 second, but then unconscious the next. And it turns out he had a very rare sensitivity to the flashing lights and things like this.
Oh.
And it probably would have never been a thing had he not specifically gone to the Sphere.
Wow.
Because the Sphere is just so much more intense than like a theme park ride or other places you're going to be exposed to this kind of thing. Even like a normal concert, you're very aware of where you are in space. I think that's probably altered a bit when it comes to the Sphere. But yeah, his wife talked to the Daily Mirror and was like, yeah, it was extremely scary. If you have any type of sensitivity to anything like this, you need to be very, very careful if you visit the Sphere.
I don't get motion sick or weirded out by things like that. But when I went to IMAX to see Mission Impossible, a couple of times I had to sort of look down at the ground and reorient myself. You know, just it's a little swimmy.
I saw The Force Awakens at IMAX, and I had already seen the movie like twice in theaters. By the time I saw it in IMAX, I started to get like motion sickness. I think I actually left. I was not having the best time. Yeah, that can be intense. You're not used to it.
My happy hour topic is the craziest job is being a flight instructor. Like I saw a TikTok last night of a flight instructor with like a 16-year-old kid doing his first landing and he just about crashed. And the guy's like, go around, pull up, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, this is your job.
Yeah.
Is to fly in a plane with people who you know can't fly.
Yeah.
That is double tough.
And then think about, okay, so I watched a show recently. It's called The Rehearsal on HBO with Nathan Fielder. I don't want to spoil anything about the show, and this is not a show that is like for everyone. I really enjoyed it, though. And in season two, he's taking flying lessons.
Yes, I saw this.
And he was having an issue with his landing. Like, he just couldn't get in the right mind space to land properly.
He learned to fly like a 737.
Yes, yeah, he did. Man. Obviously did that in the simulator. But just, like, being in a smaller plane with the instructor, it took so many flights, like way longer than it normally takes someone to learn how to land. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm just thinking of that instructor and what must be going through their head. Then you finally pass where it's like, yeah, the instructor says I'm good to go. Now I'm going to go out by myself. What? Like it all feels impossible to me. I have so much respect for people who have that skill.
Yeah. When Nick's mom and I were together, her dad had his pilot's license, my old father-in-law, Laddie, and he knew I was afraid to fly, and he took me and paid for a flying lesson. And we walked around the plane, and they showed me how the plane worked, and I was even more terrified. It's like piano wire, and, you know, like controlling things. I'm like, this wire controls, you know, like, oh, okay. And then when we're up there, I guess they do this every time. He's like, okay, you're in control of the plane. And I just about crashed it because I'm just like.
Dave's like,
Yeah, not good. Any thoughts, Wheels, Andrew?
On that?
No, just on anything.
I saw a thing that you guys will be, I think you'll be interested in. I didn't catch the guy's name, but he's being interviewed. Interestingly, given what I'm going to tell you guys, I saw this on TikTok, which is interesting given the medium that he's talking about. So this is a guy who is billed as one of the top brainwashing experts in the world. And he opens by saying, this is my profession. I'm one of the best in the world at this. And short form social media terrifies me. He said, I know how to brainwash people and I'm not immune to the effects that this can have. Like he goes, I notice it impacting me in a way that changes how you're thinking about things. So I find that to be an interesting thing too, because when we look at what's going on, whatever it is, you know, I complain a lot about the drama attached to sports, especially football. Well, when most of what you're consuming is 20-second hot takes or a TikTok or just a tweet of 140 characters, it almost has that intent to fire you up, to change how your brain is perceiving everything. And when you see nonstop urgency, right? It's always a big deal. It's always the biggest game. It's always a big story. And that's just sports. Forget politics or anything else. It kind of rewires the brain. And I think it's interesting because I'm usually on the side of, we always freak out about these things. And I still kind of am, but it was interesting hearing that from someone who studies how to program brains and who knows how it works and says this scares him, even for himself, not just for other people. And he knows what's going on.
That's crazy.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Time to talk to our pal, Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, buddy. Great to talk to you. So before we get into some X's and O's and some players being moved around, we always like to ask you about just the normal guy kind of stuff. And everyone knows what it's like to be late into something. It's late in the school year. It's late into this. Yeah. As a player and a broadcaster and someone who's with the team every day, what's it like when you get down to the chilly weather kind of times?
Well, you know, you start thinking about kind of off season. You think about next year. It's one of the problems of, you know, of being kind of not real close to the front of the line in terms of the playoffs, because those teams start thinking about it even earlier. And you always delay that the best you can. You can tell when teams aren't winning that they start talking about postseason trips way earlier than you do. But the point is, I think in this business, you get really good at the Irish goodbye. I mean, you're just out the door. I mean, I've learned how to do that. I'm kind of in my nature anyway, I guess, where all of a sudden I'm gone. And you know, you don't want to make sure, you do want to make sure that you kind of tie up some relational connections and all that stuff that, you know, goes into people you care about and spend a lot of time with. But it is kind of awkward because you're working, yet you're also thinking about what's next, too.
It's a fascinating time of year. I mean, and you know, this what Cardinals fans are used to is the build up to October, right? I mean, it's been for two and a half decades. That's been the norm. It's been the expectation. I think it's even like 8 of the last 13 years have been playoff runs, right? So even at a time where fans are like, it's not often enough now, but these last few years, it's been a little more of this. And that, I got to believe, is that coming to an end too early is probably starting to wear on some people, I would think, over at the ballpark.
I think it does. And you know, and there's a lot of things that go along with that. If you think about some of the, you know, the players and some of the support personnel that kind of rely on even some of the monetary gains that you get from postseason, they're not getting that. Yeah. And, you know, that's not, you know, kind of the same with me and my world. But, you know, it is different, though, because I'm not talking about, you know, how many World Series tickets I want to buy and who's going to come stay with us and what. I'm talking about, you know, what's my tee time at Whitmore in 2 weeks. And so it's a different, you know, it's not as, you know, you do lose a little bit of luster in terms of caring about, wow, there's a great race going on in the American League West. And we do care about that, but it's harder to stay really connected to that when you realize that your world's going to kind of end faster than theirs will.
One thing I will say, and you guys have talked about it. I heard you and John have talked about it. We've talked about it a little bit here. But one thing that's true, I think, so far, I mean, we still have a few, you know, 2.5-3 weeks left. But to this point, I don't think we've seen any of that from the team.
No.
I think we've seen the opposite from the players, even playing shorthanded lately, putting up a good fight.
Yeah, there's a funny thing that reminds me of our time with Whitey Herzog. Whitey would notice when the other team was kind of packing it in, and he would actually comment on it because he wouldn't let us do it. He would see other teams playing catch with the football out on the field, which is funny because that's now a drill for a lot of players. Paul Teams does it, but back in the day, that was a sign that everybody's thinking about football season and their thing, and he hated that with a passion. It's like, no, we got a job to do now. Worry about that later. And it was interesting how good he was. You know, today the mantra is, you know, try to avoid distractions. Players are more distracted now times 100 than ever before, or at least in my era. And I just don't know how you avoid it.
So, Rick, we all knew that our first round pick this year was special, but he's moving up already.
Yeah, he's moving. I think that was planned, is what my guess is, Dave, that they just wanted to kind of start him, get him a start somewhere where it would be, you know, relatively kind of stress-free for him. Not that he's going to have stress, but, you know, just to get it kind of over with, get started, get the feet wet, and say he started there. But I think he's probably where he should be, considering his experience. And, you know, a lot of teams are moving pitchers faster than we do, I think. And so you get a top-line college pitcher, you know, he should be able to compete at AA, and it's going to be kind of fun to see how he does.
Yeah, I would say, Rick, in my experience, both playing, but also, and you had the same experience playing in college, the highest level of college, the best teams are probably close to AA in terms of talent, physical capabilities.
No, I think that's fair to say. And, you know, my best college time was when I played in Alaska and Cape Cod in the summer, and I'm playing against the best of the best in summer, and it's like, ooh, this is different. And that felt like that was kind of maybe... Maybe high A, double A back then, but I think it's a little different now. There are less, there's just less teams, frankly, in the minor leagues, and I feel like there are more teams just generally because you've got, you know, 30 teams, and you're going to expand even beyond that. So yeah. I feel like people would say that double A is not as maybe as strong as it used to be, and the same thing about AAA. I don't know if that's true or not, but the point is, you know, college baseball is becoming like the minor leagues right now.
Yeah, and for people that missed the official announcement, the first-round pick, Liam Doyle, was moved to AA the final part of the regular season and their postseason as well. And, you know, he's a guy, Ricky, and you mentioned teams promoting pitchers faster. I know at least some of that is the understanding that these guys that throw hard are probably going to get hurt at some point. You just, you know, we see it. So the sooner you get them getting big leaguers out, the better.
Yeah, well, no doubt about that. And I think, you know, and obviously there's certain colleges that are going to pitch guys more innings than others will. So you have to be careful about how you kind of reintroduce them into that. But think how cool this is that he's going to get playoff experience. That's a really good team in Springfield. And that's why this is ideal, honestly, to get him there, to get him experiencing that and a little bit of the extra kind of juice that comes along with playoff time. And of course he's used to that juice. That's kind of who he is. And so I think that's a great move.
I will say this. And again, you had that experience, Ricky, being a Virginia guy, but these guys that, and anybody, I think at that highest level, you've been pitching to win your whole college career. And when you're drafted out of high school, you're pitching to develop a lot of times, right? You're pitching in the minor leagues and you're being developed. Yeah. But Liam Doyle and guys like that, they've been pitching to win every Friday night or every Saturday night and to win a College World Series, not just pitching to develop.
Yeah, and it, you know, that is such a great kind of – that's where the crux is in the minor league system, because you really want both. You really want to develop, and yes, the high school kid for sure has to be developed. He has to be – trained and sometimes retrained into the kind of the way, you know, professional baseball works. In fact, you're going to use a wood bat. Let's start with that, with some hitters. But I mean, it is a different world. And then, you know, but you don't want to lose track of, yes, we're developing our best players, especially, but winning, you know, winning's a way of developing. So they kind of go hand in hand, and it, you know, each team will kind of come down in a different place with that. But I think they're both important.
Interesting Seattle series, Ricky. Last night, obviously, you know, Seattle's an interesting team to me, and I'm going to bring this up with Bernie Miklas later on today when we're talking on the Redbird Rush Hour. But Seattle's only 4.5 games better than the Cardinals, record-wise. And you look at them, and you're like, they have four potential aces in the rotation. You've got Brian Wu. You've got Logan Gilbert, Gilbert's tomorrow, right? George Kirby is tonight. That's not even counting Luis Castillo, who's fantastic. Bryce Miller's really good, but he's been hurt a lot of the year, so his numbers look a little funny. So you have that. You have an elite closer. You have maybe the best offensive season of all time from a catcher. Cal Raleigh's got 53 home runs. If he hits one more, that's the most by a switch hitter since Mickey Mantle. The most ever counting Mickey Mantle. You've got Julio Rodriguez, who is this phenomenal five-tool player. You've got Randy Arozarena, who's having a good year, Jorge Polanco, and all of that, and you're only 4.5 games better than the Cardinals.
it is a little weird. Well, they have Babe Ruth and Wright and Lou Gehrig at first, and you know, it does feel like the 27 Yankees when their seventh place hitter has 20 home runs or 19 or 20 home runs. But you know, the other part of this team is they got better at the trading deadline
too.
And they got Suarez back again. Now you've got a whole nother kind of guy to have to deal with who has 45 home runs and he's hitting sixth, for goodness sakes. So, I mean, it's a power line. They're a team that's going for it, frankly. And with that young pitching, you know, you can't blame them for trying to. I think they're a better team now. So the record is a little bit better than the Cardinals, but they're a better team now than they were 2 months ago.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Which, okay, it's been a while since I said something stupid, so let me jump in. I know everything you're saying makes me double down on what I talked to Bernie about yesterday. And it's so interesting. It's this running joke that Ali and I don't get along, which Ali doesn't know my name, but because we had a weird first interaction and I didn't like him. Over the last couple of years as a fan, I know he's not going to win Manager of the Year because that goes to someone who wins the pennant. But what he has done with this sort of average cobbled together team to have us in that position where we're 4.5 behind Seattle, that's really something.
Well, let's make sure that we're not agreeing that you're going to say something stupid here. Now, some people might say that, but let me just take it off you, Dave, and say that for any Ollie hater out there, I think they're running out of ammo. I mean, that's how I look at it. I mean, how in the world can you think that he's not done a great job with a team that's right around 500 and they don't have we don't have the horses right now, and we just don't, and we're in a different place, and hopefully we'll get the horses. But to say that, you know, when you've got Mason Wynn hitting cleanup in a game you have to win, and I'm a big fan of Mason Wynn, but that's not the same as a guy with 53 homers and 110 RBI. I mean, it's just not.
And
Mason's a great player, and I want him. He's the best defensive player in baseball. But the point still is, we're not at our Cardinal best right now, and I think everybody knows that. Yet, somehow, and with a rotation that's been, I don't even know what grade you'd give the rotation, but it wouldn't be a great one.
No.
I mean, it's pretty phenomenal that the team is where it is.
And it's tough because there are things with every player and manager or head coach in another sport where you can say, I wish they did that differently. Like, as an example, I feel like one of the criticisms I would have is too often it's too much about what the player wants and not about what the team needs. So some guys need to sit more than they like, as an example. You can name a name. I mean, I could name Mason Wynn as an example. He's been playing hurt a lot. God, we love him because you love his effort, but sometimes you want to see, hey, it would be better for you to do this. But that's a normal thing. Like, every manager, every coach has things that people look at, but the overall body of work is the record to me is better than the roster.
But the mistake that I think the reasoning mistake in what you just said is the assumption would be that he is making all those determinations why a guy's playing.
And that's right.
And that's incorrect. And so, I think it's incorrect. I'm not even sure all the inner workings about how that's done. But I think there are times where it's like, look, we need this guy to play.
I agree.
And that's coming down from a different level on high than Ollie is in. And so I mean, and he's going to shoulder the blame and take the blame. He represents the club, obviously. But I think he should get some slack for that, even because I'm not sure he is making that choice.
It's a great point. So even some of the criticism is actually pointed more upstairs than manager's office. Yeah.
Because they have a different agenda right now.
Right.
So great to visit with you guys.
Yeah, have a great night. We'll see you back here soon.
Yep, you're the best. See ya.
Welcome back.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Disturbing statistics from our educational institutions. 32% of Americans read below the basic level, and 45% of Americans are below the basic level on math. And in the last 10 years, reading for pleasure is down 40% in America. So it's being replaced, obviously, by the phone.
Well, I would also say that the reason that people aren't reading for pleasure is that first number.
Because it's not pleasurable.
You learn as a kid. So if you don't ever learn to read at a high level, why would you read for fun?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's like saying, I don't run, so I'm going to go run a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that one explains the other quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And then the math thing is just that math's hard. I'm in that 45%. So.
Yeah, but it depends on what we're talking about, right? Like, if we're talking about basic math, like anything that's before calculus, it's not that bad.
What do you mean anything before calculus? I'm trying to work out tips. That's what I'm trying to work out. That's my math.
Yeah, but you do it every time. You can pull it off.
I could not pass ninth grade math.
So ninth grade math is probably
algebra one,
pre-algebra or algebra one.
Algebra one.
Yeah,
I can. I mean, even like long division, I'd have to really think about it.
Yeah, like multiplication tables. I have to like kind of zero in on it. I'm like, all right, 9 times 8. Well, what's 9 times 5? Then add a couple nines to that, or subtract from 9 times 10.
You're with a bunch of dummies, Kev.
I don't believe you guys.
I don't believe you're that good at math.
I believe I would on that stuff.
I believe the reverse.
That stuff is automatic. It's anything when letters get involved where it's annoying.
Should we do a quick multiplication test?
Nope.
Sure.
I already said I can't do it. So
That was the quickest nope of the day.
What have I got to lose?
I think that my multiplication tables, though, I just memorized.
Like yeah, that's
7 times 7, 49.
But I mean, multiplication is just, it's not that much different than adding.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point of the I think you're supposed to just memorize it and know the answer so you're not sitting there figuring it every time. Yeah. 7 times 7 is 49. You should just be able to recall that immediately.
Remember, were you like this when you were in class? And you would have to read aloud or more stressful, do an equation in front of the class, and you count to try to find what problem is yours. Then some idiot couldn't do theirs, and then you ended up doing one that you weren't prepared for.
Well, trying to go back to what Wheels just said, we would have readings, or sometimes it would be like popcorn reading where it just pops up and we don't know the next person who's going to read. And then it would get to one of the kids who was not a strong reader. And it was just brutal. It was brutal for everybody. It was brutal for them. It was brutal for us to listen to. And then you do understand, like, if you're in 10th grade and you're still struggling with that, it's probably extremely embarrassing and you just want to avoid it and try not to read as much as possible. I mean, it's just like a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you get caught
up but
in.
We saw the story recently, too. Did I bring it up? That younger parents, so maybe Gen Z kids that are starting to have kids, or young millennials, like, we don't want to read to our kids because it's not fun. Well, if you're not going to read to your kids are not going to be able to read to the level they need to in school. That's where it starts. So if you're not willing to sit down with them and read books and teach them how to do that, you are harming their education for the future.
Hot take, you probably shouldn't have had kids.
If you don't want to read to them,
If it's too much of a bother for you to sit down and read a biscuit book with your kids, I don't know why you have that kid. Sorry.
I mean, you have the responsibility because you created it, so live up to the responsibility. You know, you can't sit back and just rely on the fact that, technology, this. No, your kid's ability to learn and understand language and words starts when they're babies.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't take that action, you are holding your kid back. And if you're doing it because you're bored, if you're doing it because you have a hard time reading, I understand that. Because somebody didn't do that for you. Or, I mean, I'm not counting educational issues. I'm not counting anything like that, like learning disabilities. That's a separate category because that's not a choice by anybody. But where people have a choice, if you don't do it because it's boring, you are harming your child.
I have to check out this biscuit fellow.
Yeah, what's
Biscuit's
biscuit?
A little doggy, a little puppy.
Oh,
he has many books. He's quite cute.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.